I got to tell you, every time we roll around to this time of the year, I look forward to it with great anticipation, and we're always trying to figure out how can we do it bigger and better and grander. And then we come to the stark realization that doing it bigger and better might be a couple of different things that we do, a new wrinkle, a new thing that we put in the lobby, another flag, but really it boils down to simply realizing that the most important thing we could do is say thank you, thank you, thank you. Say it again. And again and again. I never was in the military. I'm not a veteran. Man, I am in my heart. There's just something in there that goes, man, I've missed out. But yet every veteran that I've talked to says, no, you didn't need to go. You didn't want to go. And it's not something you desire, because I have no clue as to the extreme sacrifice that many of these have played, the things that they went through, the hours that they're away from their home. And it's hard to appreciate that from a sense that I just feel like I lost out. My contribution wasn't what it should be. But isn't it true that the veteran's heart just cries out, we did this so that you can have this. We did this, we went there so that we can have what we have here. And that's what today needs to be very, very echoed, is that thank you represents not just a sound of appreciation. It's not just two words that we hook to our feelings, but it really is understanding that it was your heart that allowed us to express our heart today. And I just add with so many others in saying thank you for all that you've done. I had two brothers that were in the military. My short story was that when I graduated high school, it was time to sign up for selective service. I did so, and immediately right after that, we found out that they abolished the draft, so I did not go. I was well qualified. I forget what that number was. It was a number and a letter, but I was right there, and I would have been selected, but never did. But I had two brothers that did, and they went through the Army. One came home, and he said, I've been called a lot of things in my life. He said, but I got called things in basic training that I've never heard before. And he said, surprisingly enough, you know, they had my name right there on everything that I had, but they never used my name. This wonderful man named a drill sergeant, he just happened to just lack onto a nickname, and it stuck throughout the whole thing. And I couldn't wait to get out of there, just because I didn't want to hear my name anymore. Great sacrifice. I'm honored that some dear friends from the past are with us today. Jerry Sturgis and his wife Marsha are here, and Jerry served in the Vietnam War, and he probably is a little upset that I'm even going to reference this, but as he wrote some of his memories down and his wife recorded those, he allowed me to read it one time, and constantly I thought, I'm reading about a dead man. There's no way you go through this and you live. But then when you do, you become someone that everybody honors and everybody respects. And you begin to tie these stories, which are probably very limited in their vocabulary, to this incredible life. And, you know, I did this in moments, and yet he did it in measured in weeks and months and years. And so did all of you, the rest of you. Didn't matter where you were stationed, what your job was. We are so, so appreciative of all that you've done. You brought this day to us. And like John said earlier, if we're not careful, days like this will diminish and they'll get smaller and smaller and smaller. The impact will begin to wane into nothingness. And the next thing you know, we're going to forget not only the service to this great country these men and women have given us, but we'll also lose the fact of what our contribution is, how we're tied to this, the liberties and the freedoms that we so wonderfully, you know, have the opportunity to express every day is because of you. My comments are going to be rather scripted today because I want to stay on point. I want to accomplish my goal, and that is to honor these wonderful veterans today. George Orwell said, people sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. So as a nation, we're safe because of men and women who we are here to honor today. We probably know little of what it costs them in time and effort, sometimes life and limb, just to assure us the liberties and the freedoms that we so casually enjoy each and every day. Sometimes I'm afraid that we take our liberty and our freedom granted just like the next breath of air. But it needs to be something we secure and it's secured for us, and we need to launch forward and understand that as they fought, we must continue to fight for these liberties and freedoms. And one of the ways that we do this is we stand proudly in this church as these songs are sung and as these national anthems are performed, as the Pledge of Allegiance is spoken, as we sing these songs that remind us of this incredible nation. May it always rise up to be a lot more than just superficial patriotism, but it's something that goes to the core of our being. We love our country because of them. Let me say it this way. We love our country because of you, veteran. Thank you. We now take time today to show that love through our deep appreciation for your service. There was a time that their service to this country was unappreciated. Most of us remember that. Their cause was in question. But the true patriot never wavered. The true patriot never withdrew their support. Times have changed, and we have recognized that the greatest thank you a soldier could receive is that we live our lives worthy of the price paid for the liberty they protect and provide. And yes, even sometimes those liberties are expressed in ways that we do not agree with. And sometimes those liberties are displayed in ways that we feel like dishonor this nation. But at the same time, it's the liberties that they are proud that they have provided. Douglas MacArthur said, "I am concerned for the security of our great nation, not so much because of any threat from without, but because of the insidious forces working from within." You realize the only person you can be responsible to is yourself. So each and every day, far beyond an emphasis of veterans, far beyond Veterans Day, which will be Friday, we have to get up every day and understand that this flag means a lot more than just a symbol of our nation. It doesn't just identify us as a part of the continent of North America, but it also represents all of those things that we love so dearly. It also reminds us that behind all of this, whether he was found in the foxhole or whether he was taken in a uniform with him, that God has been behind all of this. That God did indeed secure our liberties and our freedoms through his own sacrifice on the cross. There's always a connection there. We're not doing this simply because it's in church. We're doing this because God and country have always been synonymous. And it's always going to be that way unless you and I allow it to be separated. So it's up to us. We may not be experiencing our greatest days as a nation. Our leaders may not exude the morals or the conduct reflective of a great nation, much less a godly nation. But we can all give our military personnel and these great veterans we are here to honor today a reason to continue to love this country and be proud of their service. And we aim to do that today. It has been said that the soldier doesn't fight because of what is in front of him. He fights because he loves what he left behind. It's true, you don't have to agree with the war to be grateful for the sacrifices of our military. You don't have to know their story. Just know that being a soldier is more than being courageous. It's more than responding to the call of duty. It's more than valor. It's more than loyalty or dedication. It's being willing to sacrifice yourself for something greater than yourself. And sometimes we didn't see that laid on the line. It happened overseas. It happened somewhere else. The threat to their life never approached us as something right outside our door. It wasn't an imminent threat to us, but it was to them. But God forbid that we forget what they did and secured everything that we have so sacred today. It's also been said that only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, the other died for your freedom. I so appreciated Mr. Farrow, who played our bagpipes earlier when we were talking about all of the decorations and stuff. He said, "You know what?" He said, "You know what I love to see the most in this church?" And I was just anticipating what he said, because I put these flags up. And there's a lift, and it's not real steady, but it goes that high. And it's just fun doing all of this. And I just thought he'd say, "Yeah, I love the pictures of these things over here and the flags, especially that puppy up there. That's kind of interesting." But you know what he said? He said, "I love the altars in the front of your church." Isn't it interesting that we do so many things to honor our veterans? We dress up so many things. I love the flags that are on the lawn. Thank you to every person who did anything and everything to make this day complete. Did you see our lobby? Carolyn Osborne and her crew has just done a fabulous job. They've taken our hospitality room and turned it into a mess hall. They've taken this scene over here with these young men and made it look like an old foxhole. We've tried to honor a duplicate of the the national tomb up in Washington, D.C., out in front of here. The flags are in the lawn, the crosses are out there, all of these things. But it's all about just understanding that these incredible people have honored us with their presence today. Thank you so much for showing up today. How fitting that we find ourselves in a church on a Sunday giving honor and expressing our love for both Jesus Christ and these wonderful men and women. Dan Lubinsky said this, "On the battlefield, the military pledges to leave no soldier behind. As a nation, let it be our pledge that when they return home, we leave no veteran behind." I think it's a tragedy, but at the same time, we all understand that we don't live in a perfect world. Our veterans have been bounced around, and sometimes the emphasis has been anything on taking care of their personal needs. I'm not here to bash anybody or any organization or any part of the government. I'm just here to tell you that the things that we can't control, we can't control. But the things we can control, we can. God forbid we go through the rest of this day without picking out one of these wonderful men that stood up in honor of their service and stood up in honor of this flag without putting our arms around and them telling them like we love them and we appreciate them. And this is your day. This is your day. And that's what we aim to do. Today is our day as a church and as individuals to leave no veteran behind, to refuse to withhold our appreciation for the men and women who currently and proudly wear the uniform of the United States military. It's our turn to make you proud, and I hope that we will do so. I would like to leave you with just five words that are lived out by every man and every woman who has and is serving in the United States military. We saw a picture of a couple of our veterans that can't be here today. I've learned over the course of time when we do this that usually our National Guard units are enacted because of so many other personnel that are being a part of veterans, of, you know, events and things like that. So there's some of them that couldn't be here today. They're actively on duty today. But one of those words is service. Being a member of the military is called service. It is considered by many to be the most honorable of all jobs or responsibilities. General Norman Schwarzkopf, remember him back of the early 1990s? He said, "It doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those men who goes into battle." When it comes to military service, they don't call it service for nothing. You're actively and actually serving your country, and it is a worthy and valid vocation. I am glad that we now live in a current time to where we're trying to recapture our patriotism. We find these young men coming home, and we want to capture them at the airports. We want to put out the signs. I love all the videos, and many of you have seen it, where they show up at the elementary schools to surprise their kids. They're coming home. They've showed up as mascots during baseball games and throw out the first pitch, and nobody even knew what was going on, and they take the head of the mask off, and there's Daddy. They show up at football games and all kinds of things, and it's just wonderful to see that reunion because there really was no separation in the heart. It was just the physical separation that caused that. And to see their reunion is fabulous. And it's all because they've embraced a word called service. Our second word is valor. Uncommon valor was a common virtue, according to Admiral Chester Nimitz. He was speaking of Iwo Jima in 1945. Valor, by definition, is great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. Valor is a word that we don't use much, mainly because it is only fitting to apply it to those who really earned it. You know, the uniform doesn't make the soldier. It is the soldier who wears the uniform that makes that soldier. Valor is not about glory. It's not about promise. It is, however, for the man or woman who embodies the very essence of courage and the bravery associated with our men and women in uniform. They've exchanged their uniform nowadays for a suit and ties, blue jeans and a tool belt, maybe a pair of scrubs or an attire of a teacher. They go to work every day as a citizen of this fine nation, but their valor as a veteran, their valor remains a common virtue today. Thank you, veterans, for your great courage in the face of danger. It is amazing how the things that they learned in training and in battle, as they committed their lives to one another and to this great country, it just always just rises to the top. And once again, they show up and you see valor again and again and again. It doesn't end when you turn in your uniform. It goes with you because it's a part of your life. It becomes a part of your personality. Thank you. The next word is honor. The veterans of our military service have put their lives on the line to protect the freedoms that we enjoy. They have dedicated their lives to their country and deserve to be recognized for their commitment. They did this with great honor. Honor is simply great respect or admiration. You see, I think it takes a true heart of a veteran to have served what they've done, fought what they've done, maybe lost what they lost, but yet still give the honor to another person who would directly oppose their position, who would not honor their flag, but yet we honor them as an individual, as an equal. I tell you, that takes an awful lot. That takes an awful lot of courage, and they were so proud of everyone who would do that. Most veterans I know shy away from the recognition they justly deserve. The truth of the matter is, most of them would just rather stay home today. It's not because they didn't want to dress up and go to church. It was because they'd rather just kind of shy away from all of these things. Matter of fact, they don't seek the glamour or the glory for their service or their country. They tend to downplay this enormous contribution to the freedoms that they have provided and they have protected. A thank you is really all they want and really all they need, according to them anyway. And many of them are years, even decades, removed from the day that they wore the uniform, but continue to show us what honor is, what it looks like every day. You know, I've told people before that many times during a funeral service, I'll admittedly tell them that I remember growing up, the biggest hero in my life was my grandfather. He was just this bigger-than-life man. And after I got saved later on in my life and got into ministry, and now I'm a pastor of a church, but there have been times that I had a decision to make or didn't know exactly what to do or I was a little confused on something. And I'd go, what should I do? And many, many times, my grandfather would pop into my head. I didn't mean to put Jesus second by any means, you know, but how cool was it that I had this living, real life, spoke to me, picked me up with one arm, spanked me, run me all over the place, worked me to death person in my life that I could see as an example. Veterans, you are that for us today. We follow your example. We walk in your shadow for a reason. We're there constantly interested and just intrigued by your stories and by your mannerisms for a reason. It's because you have showed such great honor. Another word is pride. You see those chests on those men? When those songs started singing about their branch of service, not only did they pop up, hey, some of them hadn't straightened up like that in years. Came out like this. Man, I saw it, I'm telling you. It was awesome. And you thought that drill sergeant that my brother and brothers knew was here or something. I don't know. It's just the pride and what's happened, where they've been, what they've done. It was just fabulous. I just loved it when I saw that. I thank you for that. Alan West said, we must never forget why we have and why we need our military. Our armed forces exist solely to ensure our nation is safe so that each and every one of us can sleep soundly at night knowing we have guardians at the gate. I'm often humbled when I engage a veteran in conversation about their service. Every year we volunteer to ring the bell for the Salvation Army down at Walmart. I don't know why, but Walmart is just a veteran magnet. I go there and here they come, and they always have their hat on, and it may say Army or Marine or Air Force or whatever. It might tell us that they were there at Vietnam or the Korean War or something else, or, you know, Desert Storm, you name it. Here they come. And it only takes a mention. It only takes a single question. Next thing you know, you got a conversation. I sat down there one time. This gentleman stopped. We talked. His wife went in. I don't know what she did, but she was in there a long time, came out, and she said, I figured you weren't coming in, so I might as well come out. And we just talked over the whole thing. I felt like I went to where he had gone. It was awesome. They have these incredible stories in their real life, and they're full of color and description and all of these things, and you see the passion and everything that comes out in these incredible men. They are proud of their service. Let's make sure that they also know how proud we are of their service. One last word. It's called sacrifice. Today in our Veterans Appreciation Service here in the church, as well as Veterans Day on Friday, it's a time to remember the sacrifices of these service members and what they've done to defend our nation. It's a perfect opportunity for us to step back from our busy lives and think about what these men and women have done, what they have sacrificed for all of us. Their sacrifice is measured in many ways. They sacrifice time spent away from their family. They sacrifice being at the birth of a child, countless opportunities to welcome their children home from school, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and much more. And many sacrifice the joys of youth as war pressed them into adulthood. Many sacrifice their blood, their limbs, and some of them their even lives. And like we've often heard it said, all gave some and some gave all. So today we honor the thousands that lost their life in service to their country. They have paid the ultimate sacrifice, as we often capital it. Many are displayed by the various memorials in Washington, D.C. I would like to remind you of those whose bodies lay at rest across the ocean. Just a small glimpse of this. Luxembourg, there's 5,076 souls. Manila, there's 17,201. And there's 36,285 that are missing in action yet today. In Brittany, France, there's 4,410 in the cemetery there dedicated to military personnel of the United States of America. Assin, France, 2,289. Normandy, France, 9,387. Meuse-Argonne in France, 14,246. Belgium, 7,992. These are just numbers, except for when you begin to see the pictures of all these crosses around the landscape of freedom that is represented by their sacrifice in a country that is not of their origin. It just intensifies the sacrifice of all these men and women. That's just a small snapshot, and that was only associated with World War II. Well, last year, we lost an incredible veteran from our service here at Claremore Assembly, didn't we? Rolla Griffith. We call him Griff. He usually sat right over here with his wife. Didn't hear very good. You know, when you get into 90s, sometimes your hearing goes a little bit. And we have these hearing devices in the back. You can sit there and listen with him. And when he started using those, I kept looking over here, and Griff just looked like he was sound asleep. I thought, dear Gussie, am I that bad? I put him to sleep every Sunday. And then I finally realized, he said, no, Pastor, he said, when I close my eyes, I can hear better. So at least it made me feel better. And then I go, now I'll never know whether he's asleep or not. You know, he's fooled me. And that was the way Rollitt was. Oh, he would stand up at a moment's notice and make an announcement. You know, he loved it that he was always the oldest father on Father's Day until this year. We lost Rollitt. We loved him very much. He's a career member of the United States Air Force. He was one of those irreplaceable veterans. They still speak of him passionately down at the rec center. Over here in the golf course, they have his putter up over the desk where you would register for a golf game. He was always talked about still at the Senior Citizen Center. I saw somebody the other day and they asked me about him. He was one of those greatest generation that Tom Brokaw spoke about in his book by the same name. When he passed away this last year, he asked that we play a video in honor of his death and the thousands of others who wore the uniform, who lived a great life, who served this country and loved the call of this great nation, their home. We'd like to present that to you now.